By the way,
I brought it up.
We all have to go to Seth, all the guys have to go to Seth's school today.
Yeah.
Why?
Take care
because
of Green.
There's some kids picking on him, and he's going to tell them that if they keep it up, the Levite ninjas are going to come kick their ass.
Oh.
Kick their butts.
Send Pete, Harry, Jeff.
Pete knows that Chinese stuff.
Yeah, we told him we'd go over there and threaten the kids.
Yeah.
Romans 2. We're almost at Romans 3.
Is that big Romans?
Big Romans.
I'll tell you what's going on. Romans.
Harry, I think back at 9:15.
Oh, yeah, whatever you want to use. I don't care.
Right.
Hell, we could be wild to go with 9:30.
Wow. Verse 28.
Or even louder, 9:31.
Ronnie, shut up.
Oh, shit.
I guess I told him, didn't I?
get your E&O in order.
What?
E&O insurance.
E&O insurance. I want to bet maybe Anthony knows.
Anthony doesn't know.
I'll bet you $100 that Glenn, what's his name, will know.
Glenn.
Kirk?
I don't
know what.
Yeah.
I might know.
What is E and O insurance?
Employers and owners.
That's a good guess.
That sounds good.
Sounds good. I like it.
Ding, ding, ding.
That's closer than anybody else.
We're the best guess words.
Let's go with it.
What is it insured?
Like me. Employees and owners.
That might be right.
Employers and operators.
So it's whatever we would get if we bumped you off.
I'm speaking with ecstasy and orgasm.
You need insurance for that?
Enlightened and origami.
I should have bought some.
He said I should have bought some.
Nobody told me.
Do not be afraid.
Okay, starting right here.
Verse 28, Romans 2. For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew, which is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. That's a pretty big deal. Let's go to 1 Peter, chapter 3.
Hey, Big Peter.
No, it's little Peter.
Can we have a little decorum?
Yeah. Well, I'm just going to put a cork in it.
I don't know if that's...
Your day came and went.
I don't know if we can use that.
He should be suspended for 2 weeks.
I can't even find Peter.
We lost control.
Follow the West.
Gary?
He started off bad.
Gary, you're
embarrassed myself.
You're supposed to be an elder.
There you have it.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, this is a disgusting excuse for a Bible study.
Go to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which were which sometime were disobedient when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a preparing wherein a few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. So the figure of baptism, circumcision was the, you know, circumcision didn't happen because of health reasons and all those other things. Circumcision happened by showing that the whole circumcision to the Old Testament is what baptism is to the New Testament. It's not putting away the filth or the lust of the flesh, as was typified in circumcision, but now it's putting away all of the flesh in baptism, burying it. And so this is what it means, that the Jew isn't a Jew by the one whose circumcision is outward, but he is a true Jew. That was just a type, a parable. But he is the true Jew who has not just put away a little piece of flesh and divorced himself from it. He's put away the entire body of flesh. We are crucified with him, and then we are dead with him, and then we are baptized, so we are buried in baptism. And now there's a new life that comes forth without regard to any activity of the flesh. And the test of that is whether or not you still need the praise of men for your life. Do you need the affirmation? Or do you need the certification of approval in your day-to-day activity? And what we call, what the scriptures call sanctification, is the process by which slowly but surely, unfortunately, and the only reason it's slowly is because of the rebellion of man. Until you finally come to the place where you see that all attempts that you make, and it's on a day-to-day basis, everybody does it, where you try to maneuver and couch your words and not say something that's going to offend somebody, until you finally come to the place where you no longer need the certification or the approval or the praise of men. And that's the only reason time and space exists. That's what tests whether or not the circumcision of the heart is complete. Do you see that? Because everybody, every human being, there's some aspect where they need approval or praise or ratification of somebody. It may just be one other person, but if it's one other, if it's just one, that means the circumcision of the heart isn't complete. Does everybody understand this? This is why I've said for years now that that's the purpose of whoever is the preacher. Because if he can no longer put a trip on you, then nobody can. And this is huge. In the same way that we can mouth the words of God and say how much we love God all the time, but if we don't meet the needs of the neighbor, if we don't love our neighbor, that proves that we don't love God. In the same way, the only way we know whether or not the circumcision has been complete is if you no longer need the ratification or justification or approval or praise or anything of any other man. Now that's what the whole of our existence in this veil of tears is to bring us to these points where we no longer are subject to what everybody else is subject to. When we no longer esteem what the world esteems, when we no longer fear what the world fears, when we no longer desire what the world desires. And the obsidian knife that was used for circumcision at the time before Christ, that knife had to be extremely sharp. Well, the only thing that we have that's analogous to that sharp knife is repentance. And that's what slowly circumcises the heart. So it isn't based, so your responses to life aren't based on the senses. You will never hear anything more important in terms of your day-to-day how you conduct yourself.
This cannot be fake.
No, of course not.
Just when you're faking it, you're outward.
And it's, but that's why every time you do it, you know, normally if you do it and you get caught, then you feel ashamed, or you feel, especially around here. And so, or else you blame somebody because they put you on a trip. In your wildest dreams, you would never think that the role is to repent. It's just the Holy Spirit showing you another area that you haven't left behind. You're still dragging with a cart rope. So we battle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness in the high places, and that the high places are in you. And all of these things, like whether you need the praise of man, or whether or not you love your neighbor, and whether or not you meet the needs of those in your immediate area, all of them are the tells in the cosmic poker game. And each person is different. That's why, you know, when you go to the church of your choice, then you go with people who have the same value systems, and say, or another way of saying it, the same idolatry that you do. And so these issues are never tested. Even back at the time of Christ, the Jews in their synagogues started to have synagogues based on the trades or the commonality of different groups. And that was never intended.
Kevin needs somebody to help him go to Hawaii and carry his equipment for him for a week.
So I'll do it.
I volunteered to
lay
down my life and help him.
I'll do it.
What are you talking about?
What does that have to do with what you're just talking about?
It's giving to meet somebody's need that has no cost whatsoever because we have common idolatry. He needs somebody to go to Hawaii with.
I'll do it.
Oh, I'll do it. Shut up. You ain't doing it.
Well, you ain't.
Yes, I am.
And it's okay. You know, there are... A guy I used to work for many years at Teledyne said there were three kinds of people in the world. There were the kind of people that needed to see instant gratification for their whatever effort was expended. And that's artists, but it's also laborers. It's also anybody who, by which what the action they take, they see instant. And then the next he called the administrators, because for them it may take a longer time before they see gratification or before they see completion of what their efforts are. And then the third category are those that may never in their entire life see gratification or results for their efforts. And they're not any value system. It's, and I think that's why, I won't get into it now, but I think that's why, you remember when when we sing the Psalms of Ascent and the Hallelujahs, there's three that are always, and I think it's has something to do with that, but I'm not ready to talk about it. And every one of us has that need. We have to have some we have to see some results from effort expended. And if we don't, then we're, well, for that, that way the circumcision of the heart can be quick. Because if you can repent from it. But for those that, you know, they don't need to see results for a long, long time, then the circumcision to really know it has to be, it's much slower. Am I communicating at all? Do you understand what I'm talking about? But you can't need someone's approval or someone's to ratify your existence. And that's a huge, huge deal, because that's what this is saying. He is not a Jew who is won over, whose circumcision is of the flesh. But he is a Jew who is one inwardly, whose circumcision is of the spirit. Circumcision of the heart, so you no longer need the praise of men. And this is what's tested. This is what's seen on a day-to-day basis.
This reminds me of the thing about abstain from youthful lusts. It's one thing to sit and use willpower. I'm not going to drink. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do that. And it's another thing to be fed up with those various things. The fed up with position is from the inside, you're done.
Let's go to Romans 7. I'll bet when we get to Romans 7, we're going to spend a long time on it. This is just another way of saying the same thing in Romans 7, verse 1. Know you not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law. So I'm assuming a great deal here. Or Paul is. How that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth. For the woman which hath a husband is bound by the law to her husband, so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. So then, if while her husband liveth, she be married to another, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Wherefore, my brethren, you also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that you should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. And this is the same thing. It doesn't matter what you think your law is. This is, if you're married to the law, then you're married to the way a thing works. You understand that? And you know, I know you all well enough, most of you well enough, to know what you're married to.
If you're alive, that's the case.
Right. And so this then defines. It's how long is it going to take to find out that you are married to another? That has nothing to do with your value systems, or your ideas of the way things should be. Are your emotional response to anything? Because we're married to the one that was raised from the dead. That has nothing to do and no place to reference in any of our past activities. And that's what faith is. Faith just is the testimony that you are married to another, other than the way you think things should be, or all your little harebrained ideas. And this is really it happens. I mean, I'm going to use Gary as an example. Gary had an idea a minute. That's all his mind did. It's come up with another idea, because he was convinced that all of them were godly from the day I met him. Even for his definition of God was the Aquarian gospel God, but that's another world. But slowly but surely, he's moving towards the place where he sees that he is not married to any of those And he's not married to the law.
Yeah, the way it's put here is good. It's like, because you think, like, I owe something to this, you know. It seems like I owe something to it. And Paul is saying, you know, think about it this way. This guy's dead.
That's exactly right.
And you owe all of your allegiance to this new guy.
Right.
You know, you can't go back and think about stuff.
And so all of your allegiances or emotional responses to these, you know, that's why I pick on Harry so often. Not because I like to pick on Harry. Well, maybe I do. But because his marriage, even though he's been divorced twice, he was still married to his law so completely that it was blinding him to be able to see that he was married to another. He that was resurrected from the dead, and it can't have any reference point to anything that we can know. And so,
come on.
Spit it out.
Well, I mean, you can't have any reference point in the way you think. Oh, this, isn't that beautiful? It reminds me of New Jersey. Or, isn't that nice? Isn't this weather? It reminds me of Paris. It's all a reference point to. And that's the evidence that part of you still thinks you're married to this other way a thing works. And I know he's probably upset at me now because I made fun of him again.
Not at all.
Really?
No, what I'm thinking about is that verse also says, I mean, it's not like, instead of, it's all, at the same time, it's saying, you're dead. The law is the instrument of your death. The law is the proof that you're dead. You, law, death. Too late, over, done.
And that's why this night of the last day has lasted, and still going on, lasted 2,000 years. Because the night is the time that this sanctification has to take place. That this certainty that you're not married to the law. And you don't have to get it 100% right. Nobody does. Because we are part of something much bigger. And we have to be faithful to what we see. I mean, I don't care if somebody goes around and says, oh, praise God, Jesus has made this cross and walked over the top of the gulf. I mean, they're still naming the name of Christ, so I don't know what that's going to mean. But I do know that for us, that can't be part of our what we are about. And we all, you know, even those people, whatever, whoever, there are elements of this mystery of Christ that can't, they're common to all his people. The resurrection from the dead. That's the primary, because that's if that isn't true, then nothing else matters. And it's not just the resurrection from the dead 2,000 years ago. It's his resurrection from the dead in you. And so, all of these things that we study, we don't have to, nobody else has to. I don't care whether anybody else listens or not. That's God's business. But if you understand what I'm saying, then that means that we have to be, our repentance has to be total. And so the circumcision of the heart has to be total, so you no longer need the ratification or reference to anything else. And here we're married to another, so we no longer have any reference point, either emotional or intellectual, to anything else that exists on earth. So each day, each second, is a newness of life because it only is tied to eternity. It's not tied to anything else that we can conceive of.
We were talking last night in our Bible study. One of the things we talked about was repentance. And the idea that repentance is a gift. It's not something you can do. It's a gift. And when Gary said that, I had one of these just brief, I don't know what you'd call it, a vision or a picture, something. But the way I would describe it is what I saw was walking back into the cave, take what I saw was like take off the robe, but what I was really doing was taking me off folding me up neatly, putting me down on the rock, and turning around and walking out of the grave. Mm. It's like repentance is just take the flesh, set it down there in the grave, let it be, let's move on.
Okay, verse 5 of chapter 7, Romans. For when we were in the flesh, the motions... The motions of sins which were by the law did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. And that's all that happened because the Holy Spirit was our constant enemy. Because we weren't. He's convicting the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. And this is another way of looking at it. He's convicting the world of sin, not because of their actions. That's all gone. He's convicting the world of sin because they're not in that moment. They believe not on him in that every moment because they have these other reference points. He's convicting the world of sin because they believe not on him. He's convicting the world of righteousness because he's gone to the Father. That's the only definition of righteousness. And he's convicting the world of judgment because the prince of this world has been judged. So that defines how you can even look at life. There's no other thing that can have reference point. So, for when we were in the flesh, the motions of sins which were by the law, and it just doesn't mean this law, it means whatever law you have, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. That's why you can never do what you think you should do. Because of this. And it doesn't matter whether you're Hindu or Sikh or anything else. You can't do what you think you should do. It's a moving target. And the distance between... You know, even in the basest thing, you can't do what you think you should do. And the distance between what you think you should do and what you think you should be and what you can do is called sin. Except now we find the true law. Ours was just a vain shadow. The true law just elevates it to the nth degree. Now, if any of you could do what you thought you should do, you wouldn't be here. And if you're here and thinking you can do what you think you should do, then you're a liar. And that's the definition of poverty. You can't bring the thing that you think you should do to an end. And that's the definition of grace, because that's who he is. Now, we can run around all our life and make believe that we can do this crap. That's what the world does. That's what the human race does. And then we even have people like Margaret Mead, who writes these great books about the innocent savage. And so, wow, there's a people. And so everything else, all those innocent savages, that proves that man is good. And all of us, the reason we're screwed up is because of our environment or because of our parents or because blah, 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 blah. Because we weren't politically correct. Or because we are black. Or because we are a woman. Or because we are short. Or because we are tall. Or because we were sick. Or because mommy beat us. Or because daddy didn't love me. They're all gone. Oh, but you don't understand, Ole. I'm trying to do my best. Well, you dumb son of a bitch. If you still think you're trying to do your best, then you're just a fool. What?
Well, you just said something that just really hit me. You said the difference between what you should do and what you do is sin. And I finished that and said in my head, and sin is what you are. Sin is who you are. Therefore, if you look at that equation, the difference between Christ and you is you. That's the space to the devil.
Well, that's what it says in verse 16. If I do that which I would not, I consent to the law that it is good. And it goes on, it's no more me that does it. It's sin that dwelleth in me. Well, you are the sin that's dwelling in you. Your whole idea of who you are and what you should be. That's... I want to be in a place where I can be self-realized. Well, you're just going to be in a place where your people are conning you. What are you doing, Gary?
I'm reading verse 18.
Why would you do that?
I like the attention.
I like the attention.
I was sitting trying to think of this guy's name, but I can't. So some ancient Greek guy had this paradox where, if somebody's going this fast and the other guy, or maybe it was a tortoise in the hare or something, that a certain fraction of the distance, decreases at a certain rate, the question like how soon until the guy catches the other one, and because it's a fraction thing, and so he proves this thing, and that's sort of what the Bible does in preaching or anything, is to prove to us that we're never going to actually decrease that space enough to ever actually make it, no matter what.
The difference between you and Jesus is that which is trying to make it. Can't ever be.
And again, there's only one story. And what the greatest enemy of faith are the fiery darts of the wicked one, which are your thoughts. And the way the only way you defeat the fiery darts of the wicked one is the shield of faith. And the shield of faith, and that has to always be the instrument. It can't be anything else, because I promise you, you will get depressed because you can't do what you think you should do. You can't meet the standard that you think you should meet. You disappoint, whatever it is. And it's always a moving target, so you can never reach what you think you should. Now, what bothers me really about even the religious mind, which is really the Babylonian mind, is the idea that now I have to learn principles of doing it. And then I can. Well, really, in truth, that's why almost the worst hypocrites in the universe are religious, because now they've got a religious facade to make them that they have to behave in a certain way. And it doesn't matter what religion you're doing. I mean, all of them. But it seems to be more apparent in Christianity, maybe because that's what I look at. But I mean, it just seems to me we've created a nation and a world of hypocrites, because we act like we can do what we can't do, and people write books to show you how to do it better, and then they have little rules of behavior. And it's just, it's all a lie.
That's why the books just keep on coming out. The first book didn't work, so there's another one, and another one, and another one.
Okay, go back. This is... I've gone over time
so
again.
Yeah, you're so far over your time.
Ronnie, shut up. But he is a Jew, verse 29, chapter 2, which is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. A little bit better understanding of what... Anybody have any expansions or questions?
The verse that kept coming to mind was about the... said that sin would become exceedingly sinful.
That's what happens when you read this law. You want to really see it, read the requirement. Just study one thing. Just study the what you can and can't do on the Sabbath. Read how many death penalties there are for not keeping the Sabbath. We can't do it. But yet we act like we do, because we passed a law that says you can't shop on Sundays or whatever. All right, that's enough. Anybody else? Take a big gun.
9:30, 9:00. We need some help under the backyard. Anybody that can meet us back?